I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
But now let's go to the man that we love so much. We love to have him on. That's why he keeps coming on. My man, James Arcelana. You can follow him at Twitter at Raiders Report. He is an editor for cover32.com/Raiders and also co-host of the Black Hole Banter podcast. Great podcast that they always
do.
And they always have legends every once in a while, too. So I got to give him props to that. James, good afternoon. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, guys. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man, we live in life. How was your Thanksgiving, brother?
Oh, man, full of good food and bad for you. Nothing better than that.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if you weighed yourself. I know that's what they call a sin to jump on the scale the day after. I did it just to see. I didn't do too bad. I only gained 2.6 pounds, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I gained 2.6 pounds before dinner.
So from picking up all the
exactly.
food and stuff.
So I don't know where I'm at now. I don't even care.
As you shouldn't. But anyway, James, I'm glad you had a great one. Let's talk Raiders. Monday Night Football, south of the border in Mexico City. They went down there, and I'm gonna tell you right now, it wasn't the most prettiest game ever. I'm not gonna sit here and say, "Woo, we got the victory." Yes, we got the win. And I know a lot of people that we should just be happy with the win. I'm happy with the win, but I wasn't happy the way they played. Or am I not giving enough credit to Houston for the way they started off, James?
You know, it's hard to be super happy with the way the first three quarters went. I mean, it was really ugly football for the Raiders. So I don't think you're overreacting or anything. But I think there is a lot of value to the fact that this is clearly a team who knows how to get the job done late in game. Obviously, I'd much prefer to see them whoop the Texans up and down the field all game long. But at the end of the day, they came away with a win, and that's something you can't be upset about.
Yeah, James, you know, to me, a couple things stood out. Brock Osweiler, we know, isn't a great quarterback, but he seemed to always find a tight end or DeAndre Hopkins when he needed a conversion on second or third down. I'm still curious, who is the linebacker the Raiders target as the guy who's going to stop those tight ends? Do you think we'll see Carl Joseph going against one of the better tight ends in the league this week, Greg Olsen?
You know, some guys on Twitter actually commented it'd be not a bad idea to have someone like Sean Smith shadow Greg Olsen.
Huh.
Greg Olsen is a monster. And I'm not confident in any of these linebackers covering.
There you go.
Carl Joseph, I think, is good to cover linebackers, but Olsen is so big, he'd have some problems with the physicality. That's where Sean Smith excels. So I actually think that was a great idea. It wasn't something I came up with myself, but some people on the Twitter had mentioned. What Ken Norton and the Raiders are going to do, I really don't know, but that's clearly the biggest threat to them this weekend.
You know, he may be out-physical, I guess you can say, and out-powered as well, but as long as he can slow him down, let Carl back there just, you know, salivate for a little bit. As soon as he sees him and it's going to be a pass, just let him come down and light him up.
Yeah.
You know, that's about the best way you can send a message. I mean, I don't want anybody to get hurt, obviously, but, you know, if you can really slow him down, you know, hopefully put him on the bench for a couple of plays and or the rest of the game without really physically hurting him, I think that would send a pretty good message. And I think that's our really only threat, even though Funges has been somewhat of a threat as well, but I don't see anything more than that.
No, I mean, Olsen is clearly the biggest threat, and you're right. Even if it doesn't hurt him, you want him thinking about that. You want him thinking about, where's Carl Joseph? Where's that guy coming from? I mean, you guys saw in Monday Night Football, when Osweiler took a hit from Joseph, it was impressive because Joseph was being blocked, and so it wasn't like he was coming full speed. He got off the block and took a couple steps and just laid him out. So he is, you know, it's one of those things, when you have a safety, you can bring the pain like that. It's always a good thing to get a big hit early on, just so the other team is thinking about it.
Talking to my man, James Arcelana. Follow him at Twitter at Raiders Report. He is our guest at the moment right here at 95.7 The Game with Brandon Santiago and Victor Zaragoza. So many people are, you know, we have a couple on the Raiders side. We have a couple of people who are out. We have a long list of people who are questionable. But one that really stands out a lot, I'm jumping over to the Panthers, to their inside linebacker, Luke Kuechly. That was an ugly hit that he took a couple of Thursdays ago. You know, he was sitting there just sobbing, and that was obviously, you know, that shook his brain around inside. I'm not a doctor, but that didn't look good at all. And obviously he's still on concussion protocol, so he is out. He will not be playing Sunday. Two questions here. How bad is that for the Panthers, and how good is that for the Raiders?
You know, it's bad for the Panthers. Luke Kuechly is one of the best linebackers in the league. You can never make up for a player like that going out. But the Panthers have some decent depth at linebacker. I'll be perfectly honest with you. The bigger issue for them is that Matt Khalil, their center, is
right.
out.
Yeah,
if
right.
you watched the game last weekend, the second that Matt Khalil went out, that offense just completely lost it. The yep. protection for Cam went away. They had nothing that they could get done on offense. So obviously, you know, losing Kuechly is huge. Don't get me wrong. It's huge because he's a great player. But they've got some good backups who will step in and play decently, you know. At center, I don't know what they're going to do. And they've got Michael Orr put on the IR. That offensive line is a mess. Matt Khalil is a great center and one of the reasons that the Panthers were so good last year. So losing him, that is huge. I can't even begin to overestimate how big that is for the Raiders.
Yeah, very true, because their center, Gino Krakowski, he's actually coming off of a concussion protocol as well.
Yeah.
So if you can put a lot of pressure right down the middle, mm-hmm. really, you know, knock him around, that can possibly drop him out, and then they'd have to run with their third center back, Chris Scott, and, you know, what does he have to show? So that's a big one for them right there.
Yeah, not only that, though, but Addison, their leading sack, their right. sack leader mm-hmm. is also out. So the Panthers are dealing with some injuries. They're also in a kind of precarious place in the NFC where they're technically not out of it and they're still quote-unquote in the hunt. But I'm curious as to where their spirits are going to be playing against a Raiders team that right now seems to at least be able to outrun everybody using a track metaphor or analogy. But I got a couple of questions really quickly about some Raiders players. First and foremost, I'm curious, do you think Mario Edwards Jr. is going to play this season? I haven't heard anything from him. I know that he's... can play now in terms of him being off the IR. Do you think we'll see him this season?
From the way it sounds, he is not even close to coming back to practice at the moment.
Wow.
So I would not put money on seeing Mario Edwards Jr. this season. You know, we saw how long it took him to get through the offseason and get cleared to go back to practice when he was having issues then, you know, before the hip injury, when he was having issues with his neck, and it took forever. I think the Raiders are trying to be overly cautious with him, which is a good thing. But the way things are going, I would not at all expect to have Mario Edwards Jr. back. And if you're the Raiders, you've got to act like you're going to be able to, you know, win without him. You can't count on him to come back.
That's unfortunate. And jumping over to the other side of the football, somebody who's taking some heat, and I personally have kind of called him out a couple of games, is Bill Musgrave. I'm kind of, you know, I was concerned, a lot of Raider Nation was concerned with his play calling, kind of his predictability during games. But this past week, he really had a great game plan to attack. We knew that the Texans didn't have a great rushing defense, and I think we all kind of expected them to really try to run the ball as much as possible. But he had the idea of using the running backs as passing weapons. Tell me about Bill Musgrave's evolution as he becomes really one of the better play callers in the NFL.
I mean, the creativity that Musgrave shows is really incredible. You know, that Jermaine Olawale huge play where they had Amari Cooper lined up as a running back and it completely threw the Texans defense off. You know, he is incredibly, incredibly creative and he really knows how to use his players to their strengths. And to be honest, I think a lot of the frustrations that fans and myself have had with him might be a little bit tied more to Jack Del Rio than to him because the conservative play calling, the run, pass, you know, three and out, typically only come when the Raiders have a lead. And if you look at the way Jack Del Rio ran things in Jacksonville, that's very much his MO. You know, you get the lead and you sit on it and you let your defense and your run game hold the game. And so I think a lot of it might be attributed a little bit more to Del Rio than to Musgrave because it's hard to – you know, it's hard to equate those two things. The insane creativity of having a guy like Amari Cooper in the backfield followed up with a run pass that everyone in the entire world sees coming. So, right. In my opinion, I think a lot of the frustrations might be lined up with Jack Del Rio, not Musgrave.
And that big boy Jermaine can run.
Yeah, he can. You know, James, before we let you go, and I'm sure you really don't have an answer, but only a lot of people, first of all, on the text line are asking, is there any word on Alden Smith? Ask him about Alden Smith, Joaquin out in Hayward, and even on Twitter, I've been asked left and right as far as Alden Smith. So with that being said, I'm pretty sure you don't have an answer because we would have heard something by now. But with that being said, me and Brandon were talking about this off the air, and you can get a little bit into it or not, whether we like it or not. Do you think the system is correct the way they have it now? If you're suspended for a year, you can reinstate, you know, so many days prior to your suspension date. And then Goodell, the commish, just sits on it as long as he wants, should there be a deadline for it. I say there's pros and cons to it only because if you are rushed so many days to get an answer, if he doesn't have enough evidence, he can just keep it as it stands and say, no, you're not reinstated. Or at the same time, it'd be like, all right, you're good to go. Get your butt back in there and play some football. What do you think of that?
You know, I think it works both ways, right? Because in some cases, you might want that flexibility. If you see a guy who's doing far better, than you anticipated, then maybe Goodell can step in and bring him back early before that suspension. But in other cases like this, we're sitting here in the dark having no idea what's going on with Smith and wondering, and so it can be really frustrating as well. I don't think that there's a good answer to it. I think that the penalty system in the NFL is incredibly screwy. We've seen how it went to the courts with Tom Brady. We've seen how there's been fight after fight after fight. There's a new CBA coming up. I think they really need to make things a little bit more clear, if for no other reason, so that players and coaches and teams and fans know what's going on. Because, you know, you look at what happened with Josh Gordon earlier this year. He was reinstated before he was technically eligible. And then he doesn't even come back to the team because he goes back into rehab. And then, to be honest, I think that's a major reason why we're still waiting Alden Smith. I think Goodell, you know, looked back and said, oh, man, I made a mistake with Josh Gordon. I'm a little bit embarrassed because I said he was good to go before even the suspension was over. And then what happens? He goes into rehab. And he's not going to be playing football this year. So, you know, I think if you have a little bit more of a rigid structure, it'll make it easier for everyone to understand what's going on. And then you don't have this kind of drama with the Tom Brady court lawsuit.
Yeah, it makes sense, James. We're going to let you go in a second, but I want to ask you real quick. I know Michael Crabtree probably had his worst game as a Raider. What do you think Michael does this week to remedy that? The two drop balls, but really he didn't seem like he was in the game at all.
You know, to be honest, I think two of Michael Crabtree's worst games this year came when the field was poor and he was slipping a lot. And I think it got in his head. He got a little frustrated. That was the Kansas City game and this game, both sloppy conditions. And for whatever reason, he doesn't do what Amari Cooper does. When the field is bad, Amari Cooper gets those super long studs that are crazy, right? And it helps him keep his feet steady when he's running. You saw him breaking ankles on that touchdown run. Crabtree doesn't do that. He sticks with the same cleats, and it kind of frustrates him and gets in his head when he starts slipping and making issues. So I don't think it's anything people need to worry about. I think he'll be right back on his game this weekend. I think he'll be playing strong again. The guy is such a professional and has such great hands. The thing is, we just get used to him catching everything, right? That missed touchdown in the end zone, that would have been an unbelievable catch. But we're so used to seeing him make it, we kind of are like, well, what's going on? Why aren't you catching the ball? You know, so I think it's just that we're so used to him catching everything that it seems worse than it really was.
And, you know, Crabtree is actually, and we know in the NFL being questionable means that, yeah, he's going to play. But he's questionable for this weekend as well. But, you know, I'm sure we'll see him out there with no problem. Game day, tape that bad boy up. I believe it's its ankle, and just get him out there and start running. Do your thing, man.
Emerson's questionable as well.
Yeah, so a lot of people are for that matter, but we'll get through that list as well. James, as always, we appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy the game tomorrow as well.
Thank you, guys. Always love having coming on. Thanks for having me.
All right, my brother. James Arcelana. He's at Raiders Reporter. That's the Twitter handle. He also covers cover32.com for the Raiders and the co-host of Black Hole Banter podcast. If you want to hear the podcast, you can always go to his Twitter, and right there on his actual bio, you'll get the link. And believe me, they are definitely worth it. They have some legends on there sometimes, and they get down. They really, really do. I really salute them for
great
what
stuff
they do. He and my good friend Q as well. They both get down on that. So thank you again, James.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.